Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Discovering Nature's Spirit Radio Show. I am your host, Laura Rose, and I'm so grateful to be with you this evening. Let me just introduce myself to those who may be joining our program for the first time. My name again is Laura Rose, and I am an intuitive medium, Reiki Master Teacher, Lighterian Reiki Master Teacher, Angel Inks and Clearings Practitioner, and I own the Purple Rose Healing Center, which is located in the Terrafill section of Connecticut, which is part of Simsbury, for those of you who will recognize Simsbury and not Terrafill. It's the same, it's the same place. And at the Purple Rose, we have some great events coming up. Beginning tomorrow evening, we'll be starting a whole new Lighterian Reiki series. That will be April 24th. So you do have some prerequisites to meet before you join that. But if you have those prerequisites met, we would love to see you. You can always contact me for details, and everything does require pre-registration. Also, I want to make an announcement that our open reading night on April 26th, unfortunately, I have to cancel that night because a conflict arose in my schedule. So April 26th, we will not be having an open reading night. And then, of course, our next open time will be open reading day on May 12th. Also want to let you know, for those of you who have been asking for it, a Tarot 101 or an Intro to Tarot class will be held in May on May 17th. So you can find out more about me and all that is going on at the Purple Rose Healing Center by visiting my website, which is thepurplerose.net. That's thepurplerose.net. I do want to get right to our guest this evening. And tonight is not a reading show. For those of you who enjoy listening to our shows and getting readings, tonight is not going to be one of those. But if you do have a general question on our topic tonight, you are welcome to call in. And the call-in number, of course, is 718-664-6906. So I will also, of course, be keeping an eye in our chat room as we move through our time together tonight. So you can always pose a question or share a thought there, and I can make that known to our guest if it has bearing on what we're talking about. I do want to make sure we stay on topic tonight. So let me get right to introducing our guest. So honored to have Charlene Proctor with us this evening. She is an ordained minister of spiritual peacemaking and a Diksha facilitator, hopefully I'm saying that right, trained by the Oneness Guides from Fiji and India. She is the best-selling author of Let Your Goddess Grow, Seven Spiritual Lessons on Female Power and Positive Thinking, and the Woman's Book of Empowering, 323 Affirmations That Change Everyday Problems into Moments of Potential. Her Midwestern sensibility and spiritual approach to self-empowerment has helped thousands awaken to their divine magnificence within. Charlene will discuss with us this evening her latest book, The Oneness Gospel, Birthing the Christ Consciousness and Divine Human in You. In this eye-opening and deeply spiritual book, Charlene unites the diverse spiritual wisdoms from both East and West to help readers experience Christ consciousness in the here and now, combining the oneness teachings of India with a fresh look at the New Testament. Charlene gives profound and practical advice on how to know the self, release emotional suffering, shift disorder to order in our personal lives, and fully embrace the present moment. Oneness Gospel reveals how to open your divine potential by seeing truth and guides you to a higher level of self-awareness and a more authentic experience of who you truly are. Charlene, are you with us?
I am. Thanks for having me, Laura. I appreciate it.
Oh, well, thank you so much for joining us. It's such an honor to have you on the show. I so enjoyed the book. So much information in the book. It's hard to know where to where to ask the questions, but I'm sure I'll figure that out.
Well, hopefully it'll be like an old friend that you can go visit time and time again.
It definitely is one of those books. I have a lot of those books in my library, and I have found that I'm in different places, and so I can read the same chapter again and get new information wherever I am ready to hear it and make that part of my life. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does.
Okay. So what I would love to know first for myself and our listeners tonight is, how did the book come about? What inspired you to write this book?
I was very interested in these oneness teachings that were coming over from India. Heard a lot about them, and of course in the West there's always been an interest in some of the mysticism and other ideas that are migrating from the India East. And I went to some programs and had some interesting experiences with a couple of Indian spiritual masters like Saima Lakshmi Devi. I don't know if you're familiar with her work, are you? Saima, and also Amma Amritanandamayi. It's a really long name. She's the gal that does she's called the hugging saint, and she gives a lot of energy in a form of a blessing. And I was very interested in the healing properties of this. So I guess initially that was my interest, and of course after the research, which took a couple years and evolved, and I later went to Fiji and India and studied with the dasas or the monks of the Oneness University to learn more about this particular stuff, which was very interesting. And as time went on, I thought, you know, a lot of these ideas are universal truths. We can't hear, you know, more time. I mean, we should hear more and more often about how the universal truths lie in many of the world's religions. And it's important, I think, to continue to help people draw congruence between sets of teachings, because we are all interested, I think, today in oneness and the things that are uniting us rather than dividing us. And I thought that the foundation of these teachings were very simple. They're very interfaith and unity-oriented. And again, I thought that was exciting, considering this polarized society that we live in, especially when you turn the news on. And it's always something about separation and recognizes our differences rather than the wonderful things that bind us all together as a human community.
Can you just imagine that news broadcast if it was about oneness? It would be so cool.
I know, maybe, it would.
Maybe there's somebody out there listening who can start that. That would be awesome.
Maybe one of these days on cable we'll have the Oneness Channel or something.
Oh.
And just some positive things. And I guess a lot of people, including me, are just so weary of violence, and I know I sound like a 60s child here, but there's just a lot of emphasis, I think, lately, especially in the last year and a half, about this 2012. You know, we've heard so much about it. Oh, there's going to be a, you know, massive earth change or something. People have been running around in fear, worrying that when the Mayan calendar runs out, there's going to be some terrible catastrophe on Earth, you know, in the form of floods or earthquakes, or the human race will come to an end. And then we see all this stuff in the movies about what was that movie where everybody got on the arcs and, you know, were circling around the earth because the people were dying from floods in 2012. What was that one? That was like the last disaster movie I watched. And it's all just a big, it's a symbolism for you know, the changes in consciousness that are happening to people. People are beginning to awaken and be able to explore their inner self a lot deeper and recognize that what constitutes their true self or their authentic self is the piece of the divine. You know, the whole idea that we're all individualized sparks of divine creation is a very empowering thought. And for me in my own work as a writer, because I did write several books on empowerment and positive thinking but really truly understanding that we're part of all that is, and this oneness is the fiber of our very being. And when we learn to live with that idea and breathe it and demonstrate it in everything that we do and say, our vibrations are rising higher, and in turn we evolve ourselves and our families and communities and in the world and so forth. And I think that's a very exciting thing. It sounds so very lofty, but people are more open to this, and we need to talk more about it and read more about it, and I'd like to see more movies about it, that's for sure, instead of our, you know, disaster movies about everything that could go wrong. I'm kind of saying that tongue-in-cheek, so there's always a need to talk more about unity, and it has nothing to do with the church or the religion. It's just to recognize how we can and bind ourselves together and uplift each other, in personal and spiritual growth, because that's what we're here for. I mean, we're here on Earth to transform ourselves in some way. I really have a hard time, as I'm sure you do, believing that this is all just a big accident and we're here just to get up every day and go to our jobs and go home and eat dinner and watch the news and go to bed. There's far more involved in it, and people are interested. They're interested in looking for that thing that will let them live life more as a spiritual person. So that's kind of my professional work, as I'm sure it is for you, and maybe those are some of the ideas that brought me to this particular idea of oneness as a writer.
And so I want to give out the name of the book again, in case anyone is just joining us at this time. The book is The Oneness Gospel, Birthing the Christ Consciousness and Divine Human in You, and I believe your website is your name, so people can go to charleneproctor.com. Mm-hmm. Is that where you'd like people to go to find the book, or where would you like people to find your book?
You can find it at charleneproctor.com and look at all of the information there and some of the TV shows that we've been doing this year, which have been really wonderful. The other website is theonenessgospel.com. And as you know, tomorrow, April 24th, is our book launch. So if you go to theonenessgospel.com and click on the page that says free gifts when you buy the book, you'll be able to see our book trailer and all of the beautiful gifts that my friends and colleagues are offering when you buy this book from Amazon tomorrow. So hopefully they'll visit that and be enthusiastic about it and check it out.
It really is such a thought-provoking book. I absolutely highly recommend it. It talks about so many things that we've talked about on this show before from a variety of guests and spiritual teachers that we have had. And it really seems like more and more people are moving towards oneness, as you're saying. And as a culture, we seem to be fostering separation. Do you find that changing at all? Why is it so important that we move towards oneness?
I think that, as well as the India East, and certainly the people that I studied with at Oneness University, believe that the source of all suffering, especially in the Western culture, is this belief in separation. And really what it is, it's our belief that we're separate from God or the divine presence or the good or however you would define that in your own wisdom tradition. We're really not separated in any way. I mean, it's kind of funny to me, you know, we spend a lot of time as spiritual teachers talking about this idea, and then science has to go do their thing and prove it with data, you know. Why are we all energetically connected? It's like people don't want to accept something unless it's validated by the analytical, logistical process of the left brain, which I find kind of funny, but it is the world that we live in. The East believes that we are suffering terribly because we have this belief in separation. And in addition to that, in the need to give up the idea, what we also need to give up in the Western culture is this lack of present moment awareness. We are all living so much on old conditioning and old programming, And they tell us, especially when they're teaching us out there, that we are absolute experts in managing our suffering in the West. We don't want to process our suffering. We will do anything to get away from it. And we suffer when we don't fully live through the present moment and feel the pain of it, if there is pain, such as in grief or divorce or losing your job or any of the other undesirable things that we dread. They believe, and they also teach us, that in order for us to move more with the flow of life and engage in a life that is more filled with joy is to embrace that suffering. And what do we do in the West? Well, we're such experts at suffering management that we'll just stuff it, and we'll go to therapy, or we'll eat or drink or complain or run away, we'll get mad at our families, we'll watch more TV and shop more, or we'll look for love in the wrong places, and all these things, because we don't want to face our suffering head on. And this is such a terribly foreign concept for most of us. We have to learn how to let that suffering fill us and feel it and stay with that pain, or even with old emotional charges that are residual traumas or whatever, until it passes. And, you know, we think the way to deal with it is just to contain it, and that's not the way to fully experience life, because we're always going to have this yin-yang. You know, if there's good, there's going to be bad, and if there's joy, there will be some suffering. And we want to take in all the joy, but we don't want to process and learn to move more efficiently through the suffering that is inevitably part of our, you know, experience as earth beings. So, you know, before we even get to the idea of, you know, living life every day as this magnificent part of the divine presence, we have to understand how to be present and to face the things that we need and to engage in those things and really learn how to process that and move through it quickly. Because I always say that we're designed to move through our suffering. I mean, if we weren't, the human species would be, you know, extinct a long time ago. I mean, if we suffer or if we experience something that's less than desirable, our bodies and our minds are designed to move through that. We're moving through it. We're not stuck there permanently. But we tend to not want to face that head on, and then that causes us all kinds of problems later on with our health and you know, filtering life through different kinds of ideas and concepts that really don't benefit us very well.
It's so interesting that you're saying what you're saying. I just got a call from a new client, a beautiful, beautiful new client who left me a message saying she's interested in hearing from someone from her past who's now on the other side, and then she wants to know about her future. And I had a chuckle to myself because in my experience, spirit through me talks about now, you know. So she's interested in the past and the future, and spirit's going to want to talk about now. And it really seems like, and not that that's necessarily a bad thing, because as you're saying, healing comes from looking at that. But it feels like we're running away from now as a culture in so many different ways.
Well, we're also victims of our own interest in technology. This is one of my pet peeves. I'm going to air this one out. Is we are so not interested in the present moment. We will do anything to get away from it in the form of texting and using these cell phones. I mean, yeah, my life is easier in some ways because I have text messaging, but to be in a meeting or to be with a friend and have that person not be able to be fully present with you,
right,
because they're glancing at their cell phone trying to manage 5 text messages from other people is just divorcing us from sitting there and taking in what is in front of us. So we have all these tools and tricks and all this technology that is exacerbating our problem, which is not being able to look at what's in front of us. And, you know, what's in front of us is not only all of the things that we've brought as learning experiences in that we must face head on and learn from, but to just be with whomever or whatever is there. And it does take some discipline. I mean, I'll tell you, one of the things about some of the mystical stuff that you learn when you go to like a place like the Oneness University, or if you study with a spiritual master, and there's many, many traditions, not just India, but they teach you how to slow that chatter down in the mind so you're not always jumping around like a pack of wild monkeys, you know. It takes a little time to really learn how to do that. And everybody that has been interested in meditation, for example, will complain bitterly at the beginning of the process and say, I can't sit there for 3 minutes and focus on something or nothing without going over my, you know, to-do list or thinking about the laundry or, you know, what I'm going to eat for dinner. It does take some discipline to quiet the mind down so that we can be with whatever is. And it's such a basic, important spiritual lesson. I mean, to me, it's like a tool for living a life of joy. When we can just sit with somebody and be fully present to what they are saying or what they are doing, the simplest things in life become so amazing. I mean, when's the last time you went somewhere and really looked at the sunset? I mean, remember when you were able to slow down and just look at something really beautiful outside and just inhale that and say, wow, you know, that's all that is present in front of me, and it's such a joy to be part of that for 10 minutes. And the more that we click into that kind of thinking, I'm not saying that it slows us down in terms of our productivity. I'm saying that it gives us more volume of life. You know, it gives us more pizzazz. And like I said, unfortunately, in our culture, it's everything moves very quickly, and we're jumping from so many things, especially women who are the queens of multitasking. Mm. You know, it's time to reflect more. And, you know, I always say maybe, because I do look at world events and try to think through what all of that means. And maybe our economy and some other things are changing and slowing down because it's forcing us to simplify in some ways and to really take a closer look at what's in front of us. And in turn, once we start doing that, then we can look inside and say, oh, well, maybe there's some old programming there that's blocking my personal and spiritual growth. You know, maybe there's some conditioning there that's cultural or emotional or societal that's really very negative, that's preventing me from my awareness of what is. So to me right now, a big part of our spiritual work is to learn to be aware and to see the present and to see reality for what it is, and to really look inside of ourselves for any conditioning that alters our view of reality. Because once that gets in the way, then we're really just living on autopilot. We're like little machines just reacting to things and people and ideas, and we're really just not indulging ourselves in this amazing fabric of life.
You say in the book that we cannot be one with God and cling to all that emotional baggage. So is that what you're saying when you talk about oneness, is joining with that divine light within us, or whatever we call it?
I think oneness is simply being completely aware of God within yourself, being completely aware of the presence within yourself. To me, that's what oneness is. I think that idea is separate from the idea of enlightenment, and that's a whole other subject, you know, that has a lot of other baggage to it. But oneness is just awareness of what we are, which is spirit, which is this loving source of all that is. I guess it's up to us on how to define that. Everybody does it in different ways. I mean, Bhagwan always says that there's 7 billion people on the planet, and there's 7 billion versions or images of the divine. And that makes a lot of sense to me, because everyone is going to define that a little bit differently. And I know how I connect with the presence. That's going to be different from you or another person. But when we do and we learn how to do that in our own unique way, it's really a very, it's a beautiful thing, and it fills you in such a way, especially energetically, in a way that reassures us that we're far more than what we thought we were, that we have far more potential. I mean, we're actually unlimited potential when we begin to embrace that idea wholeheartedly, because the divine presence, or all that is completely unlimited. I mean, we can never really be outside of everything. I mean, where would we be? We can't be outside of all that is. We're all that, which is what all of the spiritual masters across many wisdom traditions have been teaching us for thousands of years, and we don't want to believe it. We think, oh, well, that's a lot of hooey, but it really isn't. It isn't until you experience it. And certainly some of these programs I attended in these, I don't even know what to call them. I can't even call it a session. I guess I would just call it a mystical experiences they had, where I had connected with that energy such that it filled me so powerfully that I could barely sit or stand. I mean, I was vibrating at a higher level of awareness of the God presence within me. And all I can tell people is that it's so real and it's so beatific that it's no wonder that all of these mystics throughout history just didn't want to come out of the, you know, their caves, because they could just sit there and be so completely and uniquely filled with this that, you know, there was little need for them to do anything, even eat. So, but for most of us everyday folks, we can feel that connection, and we can learn how to demonstrate that in our everyday interactions with people. And isn't that really, Laura, what uplifting consciousness is all about right now? It's each one of us finding that in our own way and being able to express that through our thoughts and our words and our deeds. It's mm-hmm. actually very simple, but, you know, we don't want to go there. It just, you know, it seems like too much work, which is unfortunate, so...
But it's really not, at least that's what I have found in my own experience and on my own journey, is that the only thing that's work is thinking about it as work. Once you do it and you get to the other side of that piece, whatever it is, you mentioned in the book, you just keep kind of going deeper and deeper and deeper. And once you get to the other side of the piece that you're experiencing and becoming aware of and letting go of, then you get back into that bliss and that euphoria and that connection. And so it really isn't the work we think it is, in my experience.
That's true. I mean, if we want to be a big pipeline for that, once again, we need to learn to get rid of our suffering, but also to quit identifying, as we already talked about, with the separate nature. I mean, at some point we have to buy into unity, which is truly our real nature. And because if we don't, what is life? Life's just a series of exercises that's meant to measure your importance or money or career or your personal appearance against everyone else. You know, we spend so much time championing our own individual causes and comparing our philosophies and comparing our successes and religions, and we're fretting over who's doing it right or not doing it right or who's on the right side of God. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yes,
you know,
it is.
It is.
I love how you said that.
We have to accept the simple idea, you know, and once we do, it won't matter to us so much about how we look or what the Kardashians are doing or who's got the bigger house and who's keeping up with the neighbors. You know, we have to dissociate with that more often and associate ourselves with this idea of the universal self or the God self and fill ourselves with it. And each of us define that in a different way. And that is what it means to live a life of purpose. So I guess if I would have a wish for people, it would be to keep learning and reading and talking to people and go to a kirtan and go to a midnight mass and experience all these things across different wisdom traditions and look and seek that place But don't spend your whole life seeking, because then all you're going to do is define yourself as a seeker and not a practicer of the very thing that they're teaching you to do. I mean, you can go to the dry cleaner and talk to a woman, and before you get your dry cleaning, you know, fill yourself with the presence and just simply pull light into your body, and you will be amazed at your interaction with another individual. I've done it so many times. It is just, it's so simple, but it has to be something that you're consciously aware of. You know, that's the challenge of being in a human body and doing all the things we need to do to function. But the more that we have this conscious awareness of what we really are and what our authentic selves are, and to find a way to broadcast that through our actions, no matter how insignificant they may be, you're raising the energy field of everybody, especially that person that you're with. And what comes to mind right now is, I don't know, it's maybe a year ago, I gave a blessing session at a bookstore, and we had, I don't know, maybe 10 people there, and we did the chanting and all the things I do before I give a blessing. I raise the energy up, and then I gave everyone a diksha. And I tell you, with all the truth in my heart, when I was done with this program and later sat with some of the people in the lobby, this guy came up to me who was in the session, and I could see this light. I could see the light behind his eyes. I mean, he looked completely transformed. And he just showed up as a regular person, just willing to receive whatever it was. He had no expectation, but he was uplifted somehow with that connection for a few moments. And it really made a big impression on me, and I was very happy after I left the session. There's a really great grocery store down the street from this bookstore. They sell great strawberries and everything. So I said, oh, well, on the way back, I was going to stop at the store and pick up a few things for dinner. So I was waiting in line at the store, and I was just standing there, and the guy that was bagging my groceries looked at me, and he said, you know, he goes, I just want to stand in your light just for a minute. And, I mean, that just blew me away. I was so humbled by that experience, which was just whatever it was, the presence that had been part of me that I had given to somebody else in a little dose, carried that with me and unknowingly was just broadcasting it to the people in the grocery line. And this guy was so energized and just uplifted by me standing there. And that made such an impression on me because it taught me that we are so capable as individuals to just do our spiritual work and to uplift ourselves, and unknowingly we are also uplifting everyone else. We're like a bunch of little dominoes all over the world, you know. You're made more aware, and you uplift yourself, and it goes to the next person and the next person and the next person. And how do we know the guy that was bagging the groceries in the store that night wasn't going home and spreading joy or something wonderful to his own family? So I guess my thought on that, I don't remember the question, but, you know, we just...
It doesn't matter.
I know. Well, we just, there's so much uplifting to do. You know, I guess if I could say what the work is today, it's that. And we're all capable of doing it. We just kind of need to pass it on.
And it starts from within us. It starts from finding that within us, allowing that within us first. Mm-hmm. I find there's a lot of light workers and healers out there who give all the time and don't allow that within themselves. And so it sounds like what you're saying is what I have been finding to be the truth, which is you have to allow that and find that within yourself. Is that what you believe?
Well, I think the subtitle of this book is about Christ consciousness, and that's always kind of a loaded term. But really what it is it's a reflection of spirit in creation. That's all it is. It's a reflection of spirit in creation in us. And if we can capture that form of awareness, especially when we're talking about oneness and knowing where our individual self ends and the all begins, I think that we are able to express that so much easier, because it's just a state of being. It's just reflecting God within you. That's all it is. That's all it is. That's the higher self. Those are the higher vibrations. And lately I've been really into trying to teach people how to raise their vibratory level. And it's so easy. It's so easy to be negative, isn't it? And to just get kind of caught up in all of that sticky negative thinking and negative habits and all of that. And, you know, it does take a little work to set your mind right and to raise that energy a little bit higher. But once we do, we're just, and once we project a higher level of conscious awareness, which again is just being aware of God within you, our whole life, our work becomes so much more constructive and non-resistant, because it acts creatively. That's what spirit does. And that's what we mean by living in the flow, right? You're always teaching people that.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I would say that, you know, there's some discipline involved in getting to a place like that. But once you do, it just is a more natural way to live. And after you do it a while, just life becomes easier, happier, more joyful. You're able to ride the bumps with ease and just see the big picture. So that's kind of where I am today.
Now, on my show and in my work, I really strive to honor all religions, while at the same time helping each individual person to empower themselves and find spirit within themselves. You talk in the book about different religious dogmas and that kind of thing. Do you also hold the same view I do, or is your message something different?
What, that there's a fragment of truth running through all wisdom traditions? Is that what you mean?
Well, you can take the question wherever you want to go.
I heard the word dogma. The dogma. To me, that's just culture. That's religious conditioning. It's so structured. And I think so many people get caught up in the process of being in a religion and identifying with it so much that they're losing the message of what's there. I've never been a big believer in, you know, sinking yourself into a religion and you don't really know what you're doing. If you're doing spiritual practices, I don't care what religion it is, and you don't really fully understand your prayers or your rituals or what it is you're doing, you're just going through the motions, then what is that? Mm. There's no truth in that. I mean, I think people are starting to break out of it, and there is, I will say, on the other hand, a certain wonder and beauty of going to a Catholic mass and listening to everything in Latin. You know, it's kind of hypnotizing, and there's a certain rhythm to it, you know, and a meditative quality, you know, so there's beauty in the religion too. But what I'm saying is that when it becomes a source of your programming and this fog that doesn't allow you to think for yourself or fully engage in something, then it's just another way to divorce yourself from the present moment. And I might sound harsh to some people, but, you know, if you're going to join a religion, then really know what it is you're doing and praying for and what the message is. And if they're telling you there's only one way, you know, to get to heaven, then I would say maybe you want to rethink that a little bit, because we can't all discover God the same way. Remember, 7 billion people on the planet and 7 billion images of the divine. I mean, it's different for everybody. So I don't know. I think people as a whole right now are moving away from that. I think they're frustrated and they're seeking some deeper connection with spirit, especially some mystical connections. And I think that some religion misses that. You know, you go to church, maybe you're seeking to be connected to God, but nothing happens after an hour, and then you go home and you're like, well, what was that all about? We may be looking for God in the wrong place a lot of times. You know, he, she is everywhere and within us. It might do you some good to just look inside once in a while and appreciate this very thing that constitutes everything that is. So,
go ahead. Please go ahead.
No, I think that was pretty much summing it up. Charlene's interpretation of God today.
One of the things that really hit me in the book was when you talked about oneness and you talked about loving others unconditionally, and that's something that I have been helping others with and helping myself with. And at first when I started to understand the concept of oneness, I had a hard time. I was cool with being one with God, but, you know, there are some people out there I'm not sure whether I want to be one with. Mm-hmm. And so you put in the book language that just was perfect for me, and maybe the listeners will enjoy it too. You say, you are recognizing the individualized divine spark within each person, not their perception of who they think they may be, a separate entity of God. And so I found that just so helpful, because the oneness is not, I'm not one with that person's personality and with their traumas and their dramas and their negativity and their toxins, because as a sensitive person, that's really hard for me. I'm one with that divine within them. Am I getting that right?
You are, and I'll tell you, this is kind of a shocker for most people, but the only difference between you and me and Saddam Hussein is that we have accepted and acknowledged that individualized spark of divinity within us, and he has not.
Hmm.
People like that have not even begun to understand that spark of divinity within themselves, so they're not demonstrating that. They're choosing a negative, evil, and horrific way based on ego and personality rather than the oneness within them, and that's how they are viewing their life. But within every single person, whether they produce something beautiful in life or they're going to, you know, raise a war, is their perception of how they accept themselves and the divinity within them. And for many people who live terrible lives that hurt others, they have not yet understood what their potential was as divine human beings. But we should always say, you know, that person is not outside of the equation. They can't be, because we're made of the same thing. The difference is just what they've done with it and their perception of who they are inside. And so that's part of all of our learning processes. I mean, maybe they exist so that many people can look at that and say, oh, well, I see the contrast now, and that's something that I don't want to do. So I don't have an answer for that. If I did, I would, you know, be the star of the universe and, you know, be invited to a White House dinner or something like that, which hasn't happened yet.
Well, I think we would all benefit if you were invited to the White House.
Yes, Charlene's solution for world peace is to gather all the bad people up and try to explain to them that they're all individual sparks of divine creation, and to send them to a oneness process in India, and maybe they can come back and be made more aware of that. But, you know, there is some truth in what I'm saying. And but remember, each of us is going to reimagine our own divinity at our own pace. I mean, this isn't just about one lifetime, you know. We couldn't possibly accomplish all of this in 60 or 80 years. That's like not even a blip on the radar screen of universal time. You know, we have many lifetimes we evolve through and have many, many lessons and people and experiences for us to get all of this. And we shouldn't be so hard on ourselves, you know. And the next time you are, just remember I said that, because we we have to give ourselves some permission, you know, to experiment with life. And if we don't get it right this time, we'll get to come back and do it again. I guarantee it. I'll probably see you on the other side, and we can go have a big laugh at all of it and say, okay, well, let's try it again. Here we go, one more time.
I have a bit of an unusual question. I have to admit, I haven't read your books other than the Oneness Gospel, and so I'm not quite sure whether the question will fit with what you teach. But just in case it does, I figured I'd throw it out there. So I have been really feeling like there's a pushing and pulling with regard to the divine feminine within our culture. Mm-hmm. And I don't watch the news much myself, but I like watching Jon Stewart once in a while because he's funny about it.
Oh, yeah,
and so that lightens it up for me. And one night he did a show about talking about all of the different, our federal government and some state governments who are seeking to take away women's rights in a variety of ways. Mm-hmm. And I was just floored. Do you find that there's this push and pull the way I do? Do you know if there's some type of a spiritual basis for that or what's going on? And like I said, I don't know if you have that answer or that perspective, but I thought I'd try to ask it.
The divine feminine. Well, in the 4 minutes I have left, because
right.
I have to get on this other show,
yes.
I wrote a book called Let Your Goddess Grow, and in it I discussed about the shift from the patriarchal values to the more feminine concept, because I think, energetically speaking, the shift back toward a feminine based value set is happening, and it has for many years. You know, this is evident in social change and our political environments and our work environments and so forth. And you know, we're always going to have the masculine and feminine in our society, right? I mean, that's part of our genetic heritage. We can't have male without female, and you know, we all have the same chromosomes, although in different numbers. And but the problem has been that, you know, the feminine side and this appreciation for unity and congruence and harmony has just not been very dominant, because the male ideas have been the ones that have, you know, forwarded our agendas for so long. And that's just, it's an interesting shift to watch. So I don't know, we should talk more. You should get, I'll send you a copy of Let Your Goddess Grow, and you can read that, and then we can talk about that too, because that's a whole other subject that's just incredibly interesting. Yeah, I would love to talk more about that. But I do see a shift, and I don't think it's about us watering down, you know, ourselves into big blobs of love, peace, and joy where we're not productive anymore. I just think that it's a shift in the way the world is managed, and the male dominant culture is just, we're pushing back. It's like a big pendulum, you know, and we need to get more into the center where each sets of ideas are embraced, because it's time. It's time for that to happen, and it has been for many years already. So we're going to see more of that, I think. I'd love to hear about that show, Jon Stewart, that he did about that. He's a hoot, isn't he?
He really is. He really, really is. I like to get my news that way now. It's,
yeah.
It's really the only thing I can handle. Well, I would appreciate a copy of that book. Thank you so much. What a beautiful gift. It's one of my passions about the divine feminine and understanding all of that. So I don't know how much time exactly you have. I know I'm very appreciative that you made time to join us tonight, because I know you have another obligation. Is there anything about the Oneness Gospel book that you want to make sure you share before you go, or are you totally out of time?
Well, I've got this webcast at 8 o'clock, so I need to dial into that. But I would love people to read the book and talk about the 12 principles at the end, which I think are, to me, if going through this whole process myself and observing and learning more and sharing that with people, kind of boiled it down into 12 things that I think are really important for us to remember when we get up every day. And one of them I love, and it goes something like this: the journey begins where you are, not where you want to be.
Mm.
And that statement, actually, Amma said, and it made such an impression on me because I'm such an overachiever. You know, I've been a work person. I used to be in chemical research and doing all these big projects, you know, for big companies. And I kind of burned out on that. And I was always, you know, wanting to jump fast to make changes in my life, both personally and professionally, and never really understanding that, you know what, you can't be anywhere else but where you are right now. And so if you're going to start any journey, whether it's a new job or if it's some sort of spiritual transformation or whatever, just consider life as it is and accept it and see reality clearly and just be comfortable that wherever you are is where you're supposed to be. So quit trying to, you know, live in the past or think too far in the future and just kind of get centered, you know, when you put your spiritual development at the top of your list. And to just embrace the journey exactly where you are, because you can't be anywhere else. I know that sounds kind of silly, but the more you think about it, it made some sense to me. And I guess I would like everybody to know that, you know, to just be comfortable with where you are and to look at that piece very carefully and to not run away from it.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate your sharing all of this wisdom on our show, and I really encourage people to find your book and read your book, The Oneness Gospel, Birthing the Christ Consciousness and Divine Human in You. Thank you so much for being with us, and have fun on your next assignment.
I will. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
So that is Charlene Proctor, and you can find information about her by visiting her website, which is charleneproctor.com. That's charleneproctor.com. And again, the book title is The Oneness Gospel, Birthing the Christ Consciousness and Divine Human in You. She talks about so many important things in the book. It is definitely one of those books that you read over and over again and hear something different or learn something different whenever you're in that place to hear it. She talks about the law of attraction. She talks about helping us to heal from our past woundedness, and she also shares her own journey and the personal struggles that she has been through. And so it is a very, very powerful book filled with amazing and helpful information, and it is in line with a lot of things that we talk about on this show. And oneness is something that we explored on the show before, and Keshav Howe was on our show. You can find him in the archives if you want to get the shamanic perspective on oneness. He shared that with us in such a beautiful way when he was on our show. His name is Keshav Howe, and I believe the show title for that one was Plant Spirit Medicine. He came on to talk about that. So check that out. Of course, all of our archives are free here on Discovering Nature Spirit, so you can check that out at your convenience. And again, The Oneness Gospel, it's a great read. I hope that you will enjoy it. And just like everything else, you always read or listen and then have that filter through your own intuition and common sense about what's right for you and what's right for your journey. And hopefully Discovering Nature Spirit Radio Show has helped you somewhere along your spiritual journey and whatever awakening is happening in your life, and also helping to heal whatever needs healing. And so that is, of course, my intention, and I hope that I have been helpful in some way to all of you out there. So we have a couple of minutes before the end of our show. Charlene had to leave us for another obligation. And I wanted to mention that, very excited that we are now offering the Purple Rose Tree Meditation CD. You can find that available for purchase on our website, which is, of course, thepurplerose.net, or you can come in to the Purple Rose Healing Center and find that for sale there. One of the things that the angels talk about with me on a regular basis and with many of my clients, so we have a very low-flying plane. I don't know if you guys can hear that, but that's what that noise is. One of the things that the angels talk about a lot is that we are not practicing energetic self-care. And so that is something that we are not taught how to do in any of the conventional places that we learn things, whether it's our family or our classrooms, unless you're from a very spiritually special family. So energetic self-care, so important. It's Charlene's talking about being in the now and being in the moment. She talks about meditation in her book a lot, and that is something that will help you to center yourself, be present in the moment. And the other piece of that is clearing away all that is not yours to hold, all that is not light. Why would we want to hold on to that and then be creating from that place energetically? Because we know our energy creates the world around us. So let's clear our energy on a regular basis and fill ourselves up with that light. And that's what the tree meditation helps us all to do. As I've mentioned before on the show, I use my own Purple Rose Tree Meditation CD on a regular basis because I need that energetic self-care as well. And so it's a great way. It's a very simple and quick and easy meditation. So many people who are using it are giving me such rave reviews and saying how much it helps them. And so it is an honor to be able to bring that to you. Like I said, it's very easy and it's very quick. You can do it a few times a day. It helps you to connect to the natural world around you. Our beautiful friends, the trees, bring in so much healing and help, groundedness and strength and light for us. And so let us connect to them more and more. Or if that doesn't resonate with you, find your own way to practice energetic self-care. There's a lot of great CDs out there, guided meditations, chakra clearings. I love the Doreen Virtue chakra clearing CD. It comes with a book and a CD together. Find something, whatever it is, even if it's just going out in nature and taking some deep breaths. Our breath can bring in clearing and light for us as well. So do something great for yourself tonight, or whether it's daytime, wherever you might be listening, because that is where it all begins. So I want to thank you so much for listening to our show this evening. Again, our guest name was Charlene Proctor. You can find out more information about her by visiting her website, charleneproctor.com. Thank you to all who listened and who joined us in chat. Love the energy, and I love the messages there. We will see you next Monday evening. Our show comes to you between 7 and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Monday nights. Next Monday, we're going to be running a replay. I need to take that night off, and so it will be our Favorite Angels show replay next Monday. And then we will be back live with you on May 7th with our friend Michael Jernigan giving us an astrology update. For more information about me, please visit my website, thepurplerose.net. Have a wonderful week, everyone, filled with many, many blessings.